Exit Music, a novel by Ian Rankin. Chapter 1. The girl screamed once, only the once, but it was enough. By the time the middle-aged couple arrived at the foot of Rayburn Wind, she was kneeling on the ground, hands over her face, shoulders heaving with sobs. The man studied the corpse for a moment, then tried shielding his wife's eyes, but she had already turned away. He took out his phone and called the emergency number. It was 10 minutes before the car arrived, during which time the girl tried to leave, the man explaining calmly that she should wait, his hand rubbing her shoulder. His wife was seated curbside, despite the nighttime chill. November in Edinburgh, not quite cold enough for a frost, but heading that way. The Last Boy, Mickey Mantle, and the End of America's Childhood by Jane Levy. Part 1. Innocence Lost. Atlantic City, April 1983. I met Mickey Mantle in the Atlantic City Hotel where my mother lost her virginity 3 weeks after Pearl Harbor. It was the spring of 1983, the year Mantle's hometown of Commerce, Oklahoma, was named one of the most toxic waste sites in America. I was a reporter for the Washington Post and a devoted second who had taken up the gauntlet in the endless verbal duels of protracted childhood. Who's better, Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays? He was the newly appointed director of sports promotions at the Claridge Hotel and newly banished from baseball because of his affiliation with its casino. Anatomy of Murder by Imogene Robertson. Chapter 1. Friday, 16th of November, 1781. London, near Black Lion Stairs. Come on! Pull! Damn your eyes! No use breaking your lungs at me. He's tied or stuck or something. The two red-coated men, hunched in the wherry, looked down into the dirty waters of the Thames and considered. It was already full light, or as near to full light as it could be, on London Day in November. And up and down the river the city was awake and hustling. Carts and cattle fought for space across Westminster Bridge, and the people walked fast with their heads down through the clatter and stink. Bad Moon, written by Todd Ritter. July 20th, 1969. It was a baby, of all things, that woke her up. Not her husband, not the police, just the baby and his crying. Maggie had grown accustomed to the sound. Having two kids did that to you. Sometimes she'd accidentally sleep right through whatever racket one of them was making. But that night was different. The crying was different. It wasn't the irritated wail of an infant who was tired or the pained whimper of one who was teething. It was, Maggie realized, a cry of terror, and the noise tugged her out of sleep, out of bed, and out of the room.